Jai Shri Prakar, Shri Shri Guru Garanga, Shri Shri Gandharva Giridhari Ju Ki Jai. And Saturday was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's appearance day. So I thought I would like to tell you a little bit about his divine grace. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very highly respected amongst all his god brothers. And because of that, and he was highly appreciated by Srila Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. And because of these things, devotees may think that Srila Sridhar Maharaj was a very senior person in the mission of Saraswati Thakur. But actually, he was not. At least he considered many of his god brothers to be senior to him. Sripad Ban Maharaj, for example, he considered a senior sannyasi. And it was Sripad Ban Maharaj who recommended Srila Sridhar Maharaj to Saraswati Thakur for sannyas. And so on his recommendation and Srila Saraswati Thakur's own assessment and appreciation, Srila Sridhar Maharaj received the sannyas order. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj came from a Brahmin family and a family familiar with Shastra, more than familiar, students of Shastra, and by his own description, but not so much higher Veda. And his general religious thought was some favoritism towards Lord Ramachandra. But later in his college life, there was a transformation in his thinking. He got some book, not sure the name of it, but it was something like the book that we published, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Life and Teachings. It wasn't that one, but it was a book with something similar in its title, The Life of Sri Chaitanya or something like that. And perhaps for that reason, when I approached him to publish a book, I suggested, I was very much attracted by the A speech given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called the Bhagavat. It became known as the Bhagavat speech. It was a written speech that he delivered at some assembly of the society, kind of a illustrious and I think recognized as intellectual group of men of his time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. It was called the Brahmo Society, and I forget the name of the founder now. Maybe it'll come to me later. But was there that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur associated with these men, and he associated with famous people of his time, literature people, Rabindranath Tagore. I think he knew him, and others like him that were famous in literary circles, scholarly circles of his time. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he became a serious student of Sriman Mahaprabhu's teachings. Then he parted ways with those people. In his philosophical perspective and his theological and we can say ontological perspective and knowledge. And I think this Bhagavad speech is the point at which the separation between him and these others became acute. So he delivered this speech that outlined the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so his central theme was that the Bhagavatam is more or less hated. It's our principal scripture, or perhaps second to Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's a very prominent and important scripture to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But it was not appreciated so much by the general people of India, and specifically Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out to those who have been educated in the English language. And our Srila Prabhupada said something once in that regard, that the British, because of their influence in India, of course, at that time was very strong. And Prabhupada said something like this, that they would never allow the Indian culture based on the Vedas, or the Vedas themselves, or Vaishnavism, to assume or to continue as a prominent way of thinking. That they wanted to establish the Christian religion and all the accoutrements that go with that, the culture of Christianity, the theology of Christianity, the precepts of Jesus, etc. So the British were very keen on establishing these things, and one of their tactics was to deride the culture of the Brahmins and the those following the Vedic culture, the teachings of the Vedas. But perhaps more specifically, and rightly so, this idea of the caste system that was very prominent in India at that time, that so they ridiculed the practices of the Brahmins. And of course, by that time, the Brahmins, there was much reason to ridicule them. They were not really Brahmins by quality, but only Brahmins by birth, or mostly Brahmins by birth. Not that all quality is missing necessarily, but for the most part, they demanded, the Brahmin class demanded that they be respected because of their birth. So this is not the teachings of the Vedas, and it's not the teachings specifically in Bhagavad Gita. We find that Krishna says very clearly, Chatur Varnyang Maya Shrishtang, one shall be known by his qualities and his work. So not by birth, but by quality. That's how we can recognize a Brahmin and a Vaishnava, anything for that matter. Should be recognized by its quality and its function. So this hereditary Brahmanism was on full display And Srila Prabhupada offers another criticism that he blames this Brahmin class for ruining Vaishnavism, or for ruining, Vaishnavism. Because by their idea, because one had to be born in a Brahmin family to be recognized as a Brahmin, then there was no chance, and Prabhupada mentioned specifically, for the Muslim class, who were seen as untouchables and despicable by the Brahmins because of their habits of meat-eating and so forth. So they were ridiculed by the Brahmins, and were not given any opportunity to rise in stature should they accept the ways of the Vedic culture or the ways of Vaishnavism. Once a mlecha, so another way of describing the Mohammedans, were mlechas, so meat eaters. So the Brahmin's idea was once a mlecha, always a mlecha. So there could never be any way out of that status, even if one adopted the superior lifestyle of a Brahmin or a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada said the Brahmins were responsible for ruining or for creating this dissension between the Muslims and the Hindus and the Muslims, and which ultimately caused a separation of the two groups, with the departure of the British from India, their relinquishing their rule of India, then this division, demarcation of India into three countries, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India. So at one time it was all India, and at one time Bharatvarsha, the entire landmass as we know it, in other words, all of the landmasses we recognize today as different continents, but taken in total, I think we can say correctly that they were considered to be Bharatvarsha, one landmass surrounded by the saltwater ocean. Oh, that's very ancient. And through by the progress of time, Kali Yuga especially, the different parts of the Vedic culture became separated into different lands, like Europe and South America and America and so forth. But at any rate, at one time, India was Bharatvarsha, and Bharatvarsha was India, and Bharatvarsha was the center of the earth. It was the prominent center of everything, more or less everything. So at any rate, the British, Prabhupada said, the British would never tolerate the preeminence of the Vedic culture being recognized. And so they suppressed that. They tried to suppress it, and as I say, in some ways, rightly so. But interestingly, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also credited the English with bringing civilization to India. They considered the English to be a civilized people, meaning that they had For instance, a court system, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a district magistrate, a very prominent position, maybe similar or second to governor. And he appreciated this structure. The British, as rulers, gave structure to India. They introduced the rail system, for instance, which brought together many disparate peoples, so that they could made transportation from one part of India to another possible, goods and services and transportation of people and so forth. They were all heightened, enhanced by the rail system introduced by the British. So the British had a good system of government in the sense that it was orderly, and whereas previously, more or less like we think of some of the Arab countries today, like Afghanistan and so forth, as being tribal countries. So India was like that also. It was tribal countries with tribal rulers of small kingdoms. And so there was not necessarily any consistency between the ruler of one kingdom and another. So if you traveled from one place to another and found yourself traveling through the kingdom of someone unfriendly, then you may be in difficulty. And there was highway robbery. If you traveled the roads, you had to travel in groups, otherwise you might be robbed by some thieves, highwaymen, that sort of thing. So British, to a large extent, eliminated that, and they created these cities like New Delhi and Calcutta, which were they were very beautiful and very very nice cities in their time. Have you haven't been to India, have you? Oh, well, you should let me know, I guess, when that happens. So you haven't been to India, have you?
Excuse me. No, I've never
been there. Not yet, anyway. Anyway, the cities I just mentioned, Calcutta and Delhi, they have some very prominent, beautiful structures there, something like you might see in the remains of Rome or something like that. Big, beautiful structures, city gates and that kind of thing. So the British were very industrious, and a lot of their industry worked to the benefit of India. So even though the Christian theology was considered backwards, deficient by our acharyas, the management was good. The British management was good. So they had some appreciation for that. Anyway, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this speech, the Bhagavat speech, discussing the glories of the Bhagavatam and mentioning that anyone raised in as an English-speaking person in India, or any Englishman discussing the Bhagavatam, they will discuss it as a hated thing, some backwards thing that represent unenlightened people, backwards culture, something like maybe barbarians or something like that. They could never appreciate the high theistic knowledge that is being presented by the Bhagavatam. And of course, why? It's because they either haven't studied it or haven't studied it under the guidance of someone who could properly represent the Bhagavatam. And they considered the followers of Mahaprabhu to be sentimentalists, mostly at that time, the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was largely true because they were, who was considered the followers of Mahaprabhu were the Babajis of the Vrindavan area. And the Babajis were, had many of them, many, you know, despicable, deplorable habits, women, association with women, and many things which, and their practices indicated sentimental, sentimental ideas of Krishna and his pastimes, sentimental, wrong, misunderstood, materialistic, actually. And so there was no proper representation of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, except among a very, very, very few numbers of really enlightened Babajis, like Gorkhishor Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and a few others. So they made a very bad impression. I think I mentioned to you in one email there was a popular, anyway, there's a black and white movie of I don't know the name of it, but it's about the life of Sri Chaitanya. And it depicts Sri Chaitanya as a very sentimental, emotional sort of person. And that was the idea of many people at that time about Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the theism in the line of Sri Chaitanya. So Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, criticized the members of the Brahmo Society and any others that had not given proper attention to the real teachings of the Bhagavatam. And he insisted that that they be known. He published this book, Sri Chaitanya, The Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Life and Precepts, and hoping to get some distribution in the West among the scholarly sections, sent a copy to McGill University for their library. It's and where it was placed in their library. And that was the first instance that we know of, that I know of at any rate, of full-fledged theism as taught by Sri Krishna Chaitanya to be introduced into the Western, directly into the Western world, McGill University in Canada.
Excuse me, Mara.
Uh-huh.
You're cutting out again.
Okay. Do you want to try and reestablish this connection or something?
I wanted.
Okay, you can just try hanging up and then call me back.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Hare Krishna. A little better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Well, if we have to do that from time to time, just let me know.
Okay.
But you manage your consulting this way through the voice over internet?
Yes, we have a CRM. So it's a web-based platform, and we can connect to that through, it's called InContact and Salesforce.
But you and it, you have voice, two-way voice.
Right, it goes through, like the customer, they call in and then it goes through the system and comes to these headphones, which the company provided.
So it's a better system than Skype.
Yes, it's more stable.
Huh. Oh, that's interesting. One of our devotees, Gokulananda Prabhu, he created a system like that. Unfortunately, he couldn't get the it couldn't it wasn't able to it didn't go anywhere. We used it for a while. I used it with him, and a few of us were using it. And it was better than Skype also, actually. But you can't do anything with it if you can't get a big base of users to support all the work that goes into it. So I'm surprised that Skype hasn't become better than it is. It's somewhat better than it was, but it seems like it could be more if. If you can speak through your system without, all these interruptions, then there's no reason why Skype couldn't do something like that. Prabhupada "Technology is not science. Technology is art." So, I find technology, I'm so disappointing. I can't tell you how disappointing it's whenever I seem to really need to rely upon it, it fails. And I'm just astonished that people in general, people seem to think so highly of it. When If you try to, like this communication with Skype, but there are other things, anything on the internet. When I was young, we had a television. Now the pitfalls were there were only three channels available, and they were all commercial, right? So today, you can have hundreds and hundreds of channels on some sort of internet connection, like with Netflix or something like that. But at any moment, like Skype, they may fail, and they do. They fail all the time. So the downfall of the old system was that it only had three channels, and they were you had to watch commercials. But it never failed. I don't remember ever a time that I turned on the TV that it didn't work. There was no spinning wheels or something, wait while loading, or you require an Adobe Acrobat version such and such in order to watch this program, or so. But today, there's hardly a moment that I'm not being asked to provide an update, an upgrade, wait for the spinning wheel, wait for something to load, just on and on. Oh, you didn't supply the proper password. It's like a never-ending series of disappointments. And young people especially seem to think it's so great, but of course that's because they didn't know the old they didn't know there was something reliable at one time. Like the old phone system, landline phones. When you spoke, the voice was clear and it didn't sound like someone talking through a tunnel or a straw or something. Yeah. But your children won't. They'll never know those things. Anyway, maybe technology, maybe this other technology, but it doesn't seem much, there's much chance for this, the technology that replaced that. It doesn't seem that there's much chance of it improving because they always try to improve it so much that they just add capabilities and features, but they don't fix the problems. So the feature list gets longer and longer, but the reliability never improves. So it's like the system of law that they introduce a new law to solve some problem, but the new law creates another problem which requires another law to fix it. And so this is the nature of the material world. It's amazing that, to me at least, that people are seem so satisfied to live this way. And simple living, high thinking, it just, that seems like we were talking about the British. Oh, that's backwards. How backwards? That's so, it's a ridiculous idea. Who? But there is something to be said for it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was telling the society what there was to be said for it. And he's spoke to them about the beauty of the principles of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva and so forth. So at any rate, he established, as far as he could, the true, or reestablished the precepts of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And so, as I started to say, Srila Sridhar Maharaj came across a book telling about the life and teachings of, I think that's how he referred to it, the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya. Maybe that was the name of the book, I don't know. So I approached him to, I was very impressed with the Bhagavat speech of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I wanted to print that. But he said, no, actually, that I should instead print the life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and precepts by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said that was a more important work. So that's what I did. So that was a, so anyway, reading that book was Srila Sridhar Maharaj felt some strong inspiration, and due to that began seeking a guru in the line of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and gradually by good fortune and his interest and endeavors came to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Somewhat after Saraswati Thakur's mission was somewhat established, in at least in Navadvip, in Mayapur, and in Kolkata. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj was from a Brahminical family, and Srila Saraswati Thakur considered him to be a very highly qualified person, an asset to his mission to Sri Gaudiya Math. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, although not the senior most among his god brothers, was highly respected for being able to catch the salient and the important points of the talks of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, one of the reason, another reason Srila Sridhar Maharaj offered for appreciating the Gaudiya Math, he said, I noted that whenever any question of Siddhanta, any spiritual question arose, then immediately it was discussed in relation to the Shastra. So, in other words, rather than offering different speculations, oh, it could be this, it could be that, he said he found that the Shastra quotations were always the means by which any question would be settled. Something, I'm giving a paraphrase, but this was the gist of his idea. So he appreciated that very much. That means that there is strong foundation in Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. That not that everyone is that we will just arrive at an opinion or provide an opinion that is our own thinking, but depending upon the thinking of those who are already recognized as great thinkers. Srila Govinda Maharaj often referred to ourselves as research scholars. That's a tendency amongst more qualified devotees it's a tendency amongst the preachers of our mission that they have some tendency towards research and scholarliness, scholarship, and at least even if we know very little, we try to express what is not our opinion, but what has been given in the Vedas, with some reference to the Veda, to the and especially the presentation of the Vedas by our acharyas. And principally, Srila Sridhara Maharaj is one of those. So he is recognized by his god brothers as such a scholar. And at the time of Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, then Srila Sridhara Maharaj was summoned by Srila Saraswati Thakur to come and sing the Sri Rupan Manjari Pada, the song glorifying Sri Rupa Goswami as our head of our sampradaya and the master of us all. And through that, later, Srila Sridhara Maharaj's godbrothers noted that they felt that this was a indication, and not maybe more than a strong indication and direction, not just indication but direction, that he that he was showing that they should recognize Srila Sridhara Maharaj held a special position with Saraswati Thakur, and they felt that this was they believed that this showed Saraswati Thakur transferring his power as the leader of the Rupanuga Sampradaya to Srila Sridhara Maharaj. And so many of Srila Sridhara Maharaj's godbrothers respected him for that. And in their own way, they also recognized some special features of his divine grace, that he had a disinterested nature. So even his enemies could And he had enemies. Even his enemies could approach him and get good advice because he was impartial. So he had a disinterested nature. He was highly intelligent, and he had a very strong command of common sense. So these three features were especially noted about him, and highly intelligent, strong common sense, and a disinterested nature. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained these about himself, that his nature was controlled by certain stars, I forget what they are. Buddhi was one, and two others, I don't recall. Buddhi is for intelligence, so strong intelligence. And one he described as responsible for his childishness. He had a childish nature. And I don't think I can represent properly right now what all the features of that, but simplicity, childishness and simplicity. So these are fine qualities for a Vaishnava, simplicity. We are not ones to simplicity is kind of the opposite of diplomacy. Just straight, this is the fact, and we don't need to interpret or offer changes or something of that nature. Here's the fact. Sarva dharman prityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja. Come to Krishna. This is the supreme command. Serve him. So we don't need to give some interpretation. Oh, Krishna is, that means the Krishna within ourself, like some mysterious thing or some. No, Krishna is a person, and Krishna is the supreme person, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is speaking and he is telling, giving instruction. Do this, you will come to me, you will live with me. And if you do this, then you need not fear anything, any of the perils of this world. They cannot touch you. And he describes everything about the soul and the relationship of the jiva to his supreme self, Krishna's. And Krishna's, and then that's filled in with Srimad Bhagavatam and his incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we learn so many further intimate details. But in the beginning in Bhagavad Gita, it's enough. I tell you these things, Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend. And so we can also become the friend of Krishna. That's also that possibility is shown to us there. So at any rate, without interpretation, without imagination, the simplicity in simple ways, and Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, said, even a child can preach. Krishna is God. That is enough. Krishna is God. And that one fact, that is the central fact, and even a child can know that. So that sort of simplicity is very helpful. And sincerity. So, nahi kalyana krit kaschit. Sridhar Maharaj often quoted this verse, duryatim tatta gacchati. If one is sincere, then he cannot, he will never, evil will never befall him. And sincerity and simplicity, these two go together very well. Because if one is sincere, then he will be simple. And if one is, and because he is not trying to make some complicated kitcheries, a mixture of Krishna consciousness with mundane consciousness, Those that make Krishna consciousness very complex, usually it's because there's some mundane interest. So they to enhance their own position. So we find there are many presentations of Bhagavad Gita because some author is trying to gain the notoriety, the fame of, utilize the fame of Krishna to present some idea of his own. So Srila Sridhara Maharaj was expressed that his nature was childish and simple, and these qualities were highly respected. Keen intelligence, strong common sense, and disinterested nature. He was not out for himself. He was interested in the good of others, even more than his own good. So even his enemies, those who were inimical to him, they could come and they could get good advice from him. So that, and if we think of a sadhu, that's the nature of a sadhu, isn't it? We read the descriptions of the sadhus and we see that these are the characteristics of saintly persons. So Srila Sridhara Maharaj embodied these things. And myself and some of my god brothers approached Srila Sridhara Maharaj for some help after the disappearance of our Srila Prabhupada, he was very helpful to us, and more helpful than anyone else could have been. First, because he was a very dear friend of our Gurudev. They were intimate friends, and each had high regard for the other. And I think it's fair to say, I'm trying to speak a little objectively, not as the disciple of Srila Prabhupada or Srila Sridhara Maharaj, but objectively speaking, their relationship was very close, and closer than the relationship of Srila Sridhara Maharaj with other god brothers. He had close relationships, but he had a offered the declaration that Srila Swami Maharaj was a Shaktivesh avatar. So he recognized the unique position, and he understood that the principal desire of Srila Saraswati Thakur was to expand the knowledge of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He asked many of his disciples, perhaps in some way all of his disciples, to preach to the English-speaking section and to the West, distribute Krishna consciousness in the West. And Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada did that, and Srila Sridhara Maharaj was highly, highly appreciative. And so much so that sometimes his god brothers would come to complain about Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, because he was criticizing them or disturbing them in some way. And Srila Sridhara Maharaj said one time that to one such complainer, if you get the chance to play the kartals in the kirtan he is leading, then you gain a better position. Your position will be enhanced. So that sort of appreciation he had, because he saw the mission of his Gurudev being spread throughout the world by the preaching of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. So he was very appreciative. And Srila Swami Maharaj is when, after some success preaching in the West, returned to India, and Srila Sridhara Maharaj was the only one to give him a nice reception. He, through Govinda Maharaj, arranged a, I forget what they have some term for it, but it kind of like a city reception, a grand reception of a noted personality, where the mayor and notable persons of the city, pundits and other spiritual leaders and so forth, are invited, and the public is invited. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj made this arrangement for Srila Swami Maharaj to have him properly received as a great preacher of Mahaprabhu's precepts. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was, Govinda Maharaj said he was very happy, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very happy to prepare that reception for Srila Swami Maharaj. So, like other god brothers of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada would give reports of his preaching, and Govinda Maharaj spoke about some other god brothers, that they behaved in the way of Singha Vilochan. They, like, as like Singha means lion, and Vilochan to look or to see. So the lion, when he's going for his prey, then he's going very carefully, and then he's looking back to see if there's any if he will be noticed or not. In other words, he's
excuse me, Mark.
Uh-huh.
I'm losing you again.
Okay. We can recall. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So the lion will look back to see that his he's not being noticed, that he's achieving the stealth that he's trying for. So in the other acharyas, Govinda Maharaj said, they are looking back to Srila Sridhar Maharaj to see if he is, they're going out in the preaching field and they're looking back to him to see if he is approving. Does he approve of their, what they're doing? So Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he visited Srila Sridhar Maharaj several times over the years, after he went to the West for preaching. He would go to Srila Sridhar Maharaj's mat, and always in a showing great deference to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Even though Srila Swami Maharaj was much Srila Sridhar Maharaj, in his own words, considered him a big man. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, he is a big man and I am a small man. I am like, he is like the sun and I am like a firefly. So because of Srila Swami Maharaj's preaching, and his mission became so significant and so widespread, and so many things. So Prabhupada would come and he would say, he would tell Srila Sridhar Maharaj, we have distributed this month 1 million Back to Godhead magazines, or whatever the number was. And we have distributed so many Bhagavad Gitas, and we have distributed so many Srimad Bhagavatams, and like this, give some preaching report. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj would always be very appreciative of that. And Srila Swami Maharaj would come with his disciples also, and he would write letters to Srila Sridhar Maharaj and ask for guidance. In one particular instance, he felt that he may pass away soon after, I believe, after a stroke, And he was wondering if he should return to India to so he could leave this world from Vrindavan. So return to Vrindavan. And Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja said, "No, that's not necessary for you. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Śrīla, our Guru Mahārāja has given you a very big preaching field, and that work you are doing, if you die doing that, then that will be glorious." Something like that. I'm not saying exactly, but this is the general meaning. So that was their relationship, and the other reason I say that their relationship was closer than others is that I never heard Govinda Maharaj speak of any of Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja's other god brothers with such degree of reverence as he did with Śrīla Swami Maharaj. On speaking on Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja's appearance day, maybe in 1996, no, 2000, 2000 something, I don't remember when, Govinda Maharaj said that, referred to Śrīla Prabhupāda as his Shiksha Guru and Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja as his Diksha Guru. And he said things like that often, Prabhupada as his Shiksha Guru. But I didn't hear him speak like that about other individual god brothers of Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja. So their position was very close, and Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja was like the godfather of us all, disciples of Śrīla Prabhupada. Because Śrīla Prabhupada asked him to look after us after his disappearance. And Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja said he didn't take it so seriously because he thought that he would pass away before Swami Maharaj. But when Swami Maharaj passed away, he accepted the duty of a godfather, and he did look after us. And those that he looked after prospered under his nurturing, and those that chose not to take advantage of his affectionate guidance and protection, they didn't do so well. So he fulfilled the desire of Śrīla Swami Maharaj, we can say. And so no doubt Śrīla Swami Maharaj is happy with that, and Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja is also happy to do that duty. And in many places he referred to that, and spoke of it as an important, something that was important to him. It figured prominently in his life. So many things. They're always in glorification of Krishna. Many times, devotees have referred to Ananta, that Ananta, the Ananta Shesha, who has thousands of hoods. If we had thousands of hoods and thousands of mouths and thousands of tongues, we could never fully glorify the activities, pastimes, and express the glorious position of Sri Krishna. And so the same with Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja. We are very incapable, because his position, his greatness is so extensive that we can never fully, if we spent all our time doing that, still it would not be sufficient to glorify his divine grace as appropriate. As appropriate. So I think I'll end here on this section, and maybe you have to have some things to attend to. I don't know.
Yes, I actually have to get ready for my shift here.
Oh, okay. All right, then we'll end there, and we'll look for another time that we can speak again.
I appreciate taking the time to tell me all this and speak about this with me. I'm just overwhelmed.
Hare Krishna. Well, by his grace, I would know, I would be like a piece of glass, transparent and insignificant, except for the blessings of his divine grace and his friends and disciples and my God brothers and God sisters. I have nothing. I came into this world with nothing, and by their grace, so many wonderful things have come to me. And so it's my great pleasure to, if someone can appreciate these things as I do, then I'm very happy with that. So it's good to hear that you feel that way. I'm happy to hear it. So I'll end here. Jai Saparikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhariju, Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Yokak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Viranta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Shri Rupa Nuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Itai Gaur Premanande Haribol. Gaur Haribol. Hare Krishna.
I lost you there.
Okay. We'll call this until we meet again.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
No, don't. Okay, it's no need for thanks, but I appreciate the gesture. You're my son. I am doing my duty, and it's natural. No, not necessary any thanks. The thanks will be that you prosper. Be prosperous in Krishna consciousness.
By his mercy, I hope so.
Okay. Dandavats.